Its current state on 90.5 WKAR, the musician Harper's music is often described as world blues. Harper's mix of roots music, soul, harp, and didgeridoo are all part of his unique sound. He will be bringing his distinct brand of blues to East Lansing this Sunday as part of the Pump House concert series. Harper spent the last decade touring around the United States, but as he told Current State's Emmanuel Berry, it was his upbringing in isolated Perth, Australia that influenced his sound.
There's not much there. I mean, like, there's only a million in the whole state, which is nearly half of Australia. When we first went, because I left from England and we were living near London, and that was condensed living. So we went from that to living in open spaces almost, because it was very deserty and hot. But I didn't like it at first, but after a while I fell in love with it because I got into surfing, and it was a real beachy sort of lifestyle. And it was a nice way to grow up. It's very safe community to live in. It was just a lot of English people went there when they left Australia, and I think that's why they have such a big blues following in that part of the world, because they all came over and brought that love of blues. You know, the bands like Cream and all the English bands that decided to do blues music as their style. So that was a big part of my life. So there was always a healthy blues style there.
One of your last albums, it was a live CD titled Live at the Blues Museum.
Yeah.
What's it like recording an album live?
Well, that was easy, that one, because I had such a wonderful band to work with, so, and we'd been fully rehearsed. And I think it's easier because it's done. Once you've played it, it's finished. Whereas in a studio, you can be real picky about it. So, you know, it was easy in a way, because the guy that did it, Johnny V, who recently passed away in Canada, he was easy to work with, and it was just nothing. It was just like a normal gig, and thankfully it sounded good. We didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah, I feel like I would be so nervous the entire time that, oh my gosh, this is permanently recorded
on
the album. But if you're perfect, you're perfect. So would you play something live for us now?
Sure. I've got this song called Well I Know. It's just harmonica and vocals. So we'll give that a shot. One, two, three, four. Well, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I find it really hard not to fall in love with you. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know, but it really isn't gonna make a difference anyway. So people say love is all you need. I really don't ever wanna feel the way. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know, but it really isn't gonna make a difference anyway. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know, but it really isn't gonna make a difference anyway. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know what you say. Well, I know, but it really isn't gonna make a difference anyway.
That was Harper playing Well I Know. I think two of the most distinctive things in listening to your music is your harp playing and your use of didgeridoo. Give me a little bit of the background history on this instrument.
It's actually one of the oldest instruments known to man. It's over 2,000 years ago, they picked up a tree and started doing the circular breathing through it. It's actually made by nature. Man has not much to do with it. It's a eucalyptus tree, and when they die, the white ants will eat out the center, so it's completely hollowed out. They can't eat the outside because it's too hard, so they leave them there. So some bright spark over 2,000 years ago decided to clean one up, take the bark off it, and then put some beeswax on the top and did this circular breathing. It took a while to get that. So basically all it is you're blowing a raspberry into it, but you've got to learn this circular breathing where you pump up your cheeks and then you breathe through your nose and pump the air out through. It's like bagpipes when they do it with the arm, squeeze it and it comes out. So that was a bit of work to do, but the Aboriginal people taught me how to do that. So, you know, it was a 6 month, 8 hours a day trying to get that thing going. And then the very first time I ever played with it, I designed a stand for it to put it. I only had one at the time. And it had some foam on it, on this stand. It was a small microphone stand, and I thought, oh, that's a good idea, so I put that on. So this is my first gig, so I picked the didgeridoo up to play it, and nothing's coming out. It's because the foam's stuck in the end. So can't that was my first live gig with it, no sound at all. It was a risky thing to do, and then eventually some Aboriginal dancers came along to a show, and I thought, I actually said to them, are you sure you're okay with me doing this, because it's your instrument, it's very sacred to them. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, we love your music, because I did write a lot of songs about their plight, pretty similar to Native Americans, how their land was taken off them and they just put them anywhere. No one really knew much about their history.
I read somewhere in your bio that you were saved by Aboriginals as a kid. Tell me about that.
My father and I, my father was a truck driver back in the day, and in Western Australia, once you got past Carnarvon, which is a little north of Perth, say 100 miles north, after that it's all dirt roads, and he used to deliver stuff to the northwest right up in the desert areas there. And there was this one area, and we were green, we didn't know much about this, but there's this place called the Fitzroy Crossing, and when the wet weather comes, it goes from nothing to running water, fast running water. And there's two parts to it. It's like a fork that comes out between the two, and we crossed one, and then this water just came out of nowhere. So we were stuck between these two rivers, torrential rivers, and we couldn't do anything. We had enough food for probably a day or two. We were stuck there for 2 weeks, but after day two, there were some nomadic Aboriginal people coming along, walking along the desert as they do. They just wander anywhere. And we couldn't speak their language, they couldn't speak ours, but they knew we needed food and water, so they fed us, and we ate witchetty grubs, which are like giant maggots that live in trees. They're very sweet and yummy. Oh, they're yummy.
Okay.
But you eat them while they're still alive. And they have their own form of jerky. It's dried up lizard, and we ate that. And it was interesting, but if they hadn't been there, we would not be alive. We couldn't have made it through 2 weeks with no water and no food. So I always remember that, and I think it's strange that now I'm playing the didgeridoo, you know.
Do you feel like you're honoring that memory, or honoring Aboriginals in
that
way?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, a lot of my songs actually talk about their plight, you know, and how they've been mistreated, and how they actually have a deep, and we all have this soul that's deeper than the rubbish we deal with. I think a lot of us lose it after a while when we get into this modern world we live in. A lot of that stuff's gone. Survival, you know, we forget how to do all those things. Generosity, giving, love, all those things, we tend to just keep it into ourselves. And they taught me to change that by even later in life when I was learning the didgeridoo. They came and helped me choose the proper didgeridoos. There's so many out there. You can buy one made in Taiwan now, or, you know, the wrong ones. So they helped me in that way. So, yeah, a lot of my songs are about them.
Would you play a little didgeridoo for us?
Sure. And I'll use my harmonica to hit it as well, so you get that sound.
That was Harper playing the didgeridoo. We have the musician here in studio talking about his music. His latest project is with Motor City Josh. It's called Bare Bones. Tell us a little bit about that CD.
Well, we were in Flint doing a benefit, and the people running it wanted both of us to go, and we couldn't put our bands together for that. So we, I'd known Motor City Josh for a few years. He's a great blues guy, excellent player. And we decided to get up unrehearsed and do some songs together, like old blues songs. And we really dug it, and we enjoyed each other's company. So after a while, we said, you know, we should just do this, you know, like put something together and just do a short tour of, I think in December and January, we're going to be touring around the country. And it's purely, the reason I called it Bare Bones was it's just acoustic harmonica and acoustic guitar. And we wrote all these different songs, but we used the styles of old blues, and it's something that we both grew up with. Of course, Motor City Josh is always playing great blues. He's a great guitarist. So it was an honor for me to work with him and go back to my old days and do something different than what I'm doing now.
Texting, gonna hit that fence. Well, now come on. Stop staring at your phone. Just let it go. Stop staring at your phone. Yeah.
That track is titled Why Can't We All Just Get Along off of Harper and Motor City Josh's album, Bare Bones. Harper will perform in East Lansing as part of East Lansing's Pump House Concert Series this Sunday. That's at 368 Orchard Street in East Lansing.